Tony. It's good to be here talking about rugby. We definitely didn't just talk rugby and UFC for an hour, only to find out that there'd been no recording after the first 13 minutes. And the first, like, 10 minutes of those 13 was not a lot.
We just recorded. So if we're a little bit down on energy here...
We've got wine to compensate because we've already had a few beers.
Exactly.
May be our greatest podcast
of all time. We have literally just recorded what you usually watch for those people who watch or listen every week, a full podcast.
Sorry, take one is gone.
We've had our full chat about all the games. I went on a 20-minute MMA rant.
He did.
After Dricus's great win over the weekend. And then we did the whole see you later, goodbye.
We shook hands. Yeah. We promoted the Spotify and Apple podcast.
We did the whole gamut. We talked a good 10 minutes of bullshit at the beginning.
I don't even remember what we talked about, but here we are.
We're here again because we weren't recording the audio.
And podcasts tend to work better with audio.
Otherwise, it's just us miming. You could have heard us through the camera.
And that would have been torture.
It sounds like shite. We did like 2 minutes of camera audio the week before, so we couldn't do like 50 minutes of it this week.
We wouldn't do that to you.
But if it's slightly abridged, if this one isn't quite as long as usual...
That's because it's round two, and we're tired, and we're old.
We've just talked about...
The same stuff we're about to talk about again. We've talked about it.
How do we do this?
We've done it once
How
already.
How do we do this, dude? We just sat here.
The wine is the key.
You might be 5 minutes in. We're an hour and a half in.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're like, entertain us, fools.
Yeah. We didn't see any of that, so it didn't count. It doesn't count.
It was our best stuff.
Exactly.
Real hot.
Yeah, if this is crap, it's because the best stuff's already gone.
We've already done. So this is the end of the second beer.
Exactly. So. I've got a little bit left. Cheers, Tony.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. One thing that I notice in the comments a lot, for the people who don't like me, which there are a few.
Yes.
A few people. They always call me the drunk guy.
Okay.
I always get it like, stop, get off the piss, Tony, you drunk.
Yeah.
I've never been drunk on this podcast.
Maybe your opinions are just that bad. It just seems like you're drunk.
They just seem like I'm hammered. Well, this will be the podcast where we've consumed...
We might actually be drunk.
Where we've consumed the most alcohol.
Yeah.
But look, have we done enough bullshit chat?
I'm not wearing rugby gear.
Yeah, we had a big chat about that.
We did.
He's not wearing rugby gear. I'm not wearing my... I was going to put a jacket on because I am starting to get...
It is getting... Winter may be coming to an end, but it is still slightly brisk.
Yeah, still brisk, and I'm wearing a t-shirt. So we talked about your jumper.
Yep.
You bought that in Wuhan.
I brought it in New Zealand, obviously. It's got a Kiwi on it, but I had it in storage in Wuhan for about a decade. That's a great story. Let's move on.
I sniffed it.
You did. And you said it smelled Chinese.
Yeah.
Which is only slightly racist.
How is that racist?
That a garment can smell Chinese?
What do you mean? What, it did like smell like wonton soup.
We never had wonton soup. So you are racist.
I apologize.
There was some rugby. Both games.
And we talked. I went on the longest MMA rant we've ever had on this podcast.
That's right.
I just don't know if I have it in
me. He's a big Dricus man.
I love the Dricus. Okay, I won't get into it.
Both games were very wet.
There was a lot of moisture.
A lot of rain.
There was a lot of discharge of moisture.
Yes. Auckland and Perth, very wet. Or what are they calling it? Perthfontein.
Bloemfontein on the sea.
There you go.
Is that what they call it? City of Light is one of the other things they call Perth.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't know that.
City of Light. You know what they missed? They missed the great Bon Jovi sing-along. We had a great Bon Jovi sing-along, which had me trying to get you to get a song. Bam, 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 bam,
bam. It's better this time than it was last time.
I tried to get you to pick up that song and you didn't get it for ages.
Last time was worse. Time was a bit better.
I've had practice.
You have. You've done it once before.
So now,
on another note, the All Blacks
won a game.
They won.
Fantastic.
They were under a bit of pressure, Tony.
They were.
Because they'd lost, like, the Razors.
So, in a 2 cents gets distracted first, we're jumping into the Rabbit Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little Central Otago Pinot Noir.
There we go.
Yeah.
The All Blacks were under pressure because Razor had his first loss.
Yes, against Argentina.
And Argentina, up until this point, have got a habit of beating us and then getting a hiding. And this week they were like, we're not going to let that happen again. And
they did.
Kind of happened again, especially in the first half.
If you want another one, just let me know.
All right. Check it over there.
With the other alcohol.
It's still recording and it's still recording. I just checked.
If you're not watching this, you're not watching. I was going to say, if you're not watching this, we're going to be so pissed. But if you're not watching this, you won't know that you're not watching this. We'll just be pissed.
There we go.
Yeah.
Something will have come of it.
Yeah.
If nothing else. But yeah, I thought the All Blacks responded pretty well. And the Pumas are a bit like the French in that flip a coin. How's it going to go?
Well, about an hour ago I said, in an uncertain world, it's so nice to be able to rely on the fact that Argentina will always follow up a great win with a shit performance.
There we go.
And they did it again.
Eden Park proved too much for them.
Yes. And what is it about Eden Park? We didn't touch on that in the last... Let's
try to do it new. Let's do it from a different angle.
Like, let's go
find
talk
some
about
different points.
Remember how we were like, damn, we didn't talk about Tamati Williams and Sam Kane?
Yeah, there we go. We can get that in early. How did Tamati Williams play?
Oh, boy.
That
nice
scrum was just trucking it
oh,
up.
Oh, I love a scrum.
You
know
love a scrum.
Me.
In
you
the wet.
Me. Yeah, I love a scrum.
The Puma scrum was under pressure.
Yeah. It really was. I've been thinking that we've got some pretty impressive front row stocks.
And remember that Tamati Williams wasn't even really supposed to be starting because De Groot had a neck injury, which opened the door.
They always talk about the environment. Mm-hmm. How are the guys doing in the environment? Is he one of these guys that does badly in the environment? Because he seems
Surely not. He's a Crusaders boy.
Has he pissed somebody off? Because
what is it that they like about Tuonga Fassi for the bench role? It's not like they promoted Tuonga Fassi and then brought in Tamati for the bench.
Tuonga Fassi's pretty mobile, gets around the park a little
bit. I suppose
so. Brings a bit of energy.
Makes some tackles.
Pretty good defender. Doesn't let you down at scrum time. Doesn't win a lot of penalties, but doesn't give away a lot of penalties at the same time. Maybe that's all they're really looking for. But I reckon De Groot and Tamati Williams are great.
That could be the combo for South Africa.
A little 1-2 punch.
There you go. One's 140 kilo punch. He's a big man.
That's a donkey.
He's a big bit of Western Australian beef.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Perth,
you got to get to that category.
With TJ
Sam Kane after having his last All Blacks game, where he got a red card in the World Cup final. In case you forgot,
I was there. I wasn't there. Felt like I was there.
You are drunk.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't finish his career with the All Blacks on that note.
Mm-hmm.
He wins a game with the All Blacks. Wow. You know, I felt sorry for him in the week because he was the guy.
Paranoid about it now.
You know, when they did like the pre-match interviews, for some reason they sent out Sam Kane to do them. Like they did Razor, like IBA selection.
Oh, yeah.
Then they sent out Sam Kane.
You should have an assistant
coach. They were grilling Sam Kane about the loss. It's like, dude didn't even play.
Last week's loss.
He wasn't even playing, but they kept Sam. Like, oh, Sam, the last week's loss.
How do you feel about it?
And it just felt like Sam Kane when he was the captain under Fozzie, like having to explain another loss. It's like, it's not even his fault.
But I thought that he was actually quite rational and almost a little bit removed from it, the way he was speaking about it. He was speaking about it very intelligently, but it somewhat impassionately at the same time, where he was just like, well, the boys were da-da-da-da-da-da-da, overthinking the situation, yada-yada-yada.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. You should have heard the last podcast. It was great.
How about that 9-10 combo with TJ and D-Mac?
Oh, TJ. Well, TJ copped a fair bit of flack.
D-Mac.
Especially
TJ.
But that little ball that he delivered through to... He played much, much better all round, but that little ball that he delivered through to Will Jordan. We haven't just an hour talked about how lovely that pass
Thing
was in that trial.
Absolute beauty. Just holds it up just long enough.
Oh, gee, just leave it there.
Carreras is like, I got this, and then
leave it up.
And then Will Jordan's away. And he's fast.
Yeah, he's a good He's a good player, isn't he?
He's pretty good.
Where would you... Look, this is a totally original thought that we didn't talk about. Where would you play Will Jordan?
We didn't talk about that last time.
Oh, didn't we?
Not really.
Well, I thought I asked you that question.
I probably avoided it.
Wait, because you don't like... You have a controversial take? You're like...
Put him in the midfield.
Put him at lock.
Well, he played very well on the wing. And he didn't get as much chance at fullback. Like, at fullback, he put that one, like, fluffed-up kick through that ended up having the All Blacks scrambling on defence, then Almua gets yellow-carded.
Do you think the fact he doesn't maybe play as well at fullback is that he doesn't have as much experience at the top level at fullback?
He hasn't played a lot of test rugby at fullback, no.
No.
But he's put a lot of rugby he's always been pretty vocal. At fullback. Yeah.
He's quite vocal about wanting to be a fullback.
The All Blacks, for years have been playing a playmaker at fullback, especially Bowden.
Bodie.
Will Jordan's more of an individual attacking threat, like a traditional fullback than a...
He's more of a Christian Cullen than a...
Bowden Barrett.
I was going to say Mills Mulyaina.
Either way is fine.
What was that?
Either way is fine.
Mills wasn't a playmaker, but he was a centre fullback. He could actually play centre.
Yes.
Actually.
But yeah, I think he's got to have a crack at fullback at some point to start off with. But for now, keep him on the wing.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's good.
How about Arty?
I thought Arty was actually very good.
Up this game.
Yeah, I thought he played best game of the season. He played like a really, really dynamic.
Tackled the house down, busted tackles.
Like, there was that amazing moment where he was getting tackled and he's just striving for like another
that
2 or 3 meters.
And
just,
yeah! We didn't talk about that last time. Yeah. That was awesome. That was and unsettling.
And then the commentators were like, oh, you can hear the passion. That would have been a verbal tap.
That was generally
And the MMA, that's a verbal tap. If you scream like that, the fight's over.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if you go, that happened to Junior Tafar on the weekend.
Mm.
He had a foot and a leg lock or whatever, and he didn't say tap 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 tap, which is obviously a verbal tap. And he didn't tap. He just went ah, and then that was
game over.
That was game over.
Oh man.
Yeah. And he was like, I didn't. But that's the rules.
That's the rules.
Yeah.
So D-Mac.
D-Mac was better.
Ticket 10, TJ, ticket 9.
Kicked all his goals,
yep,
which was really good to see. Really, really dominant scrum. Obviously, people like me and JK, like, who have been on the record as not big fans of scrums, do we have to like say, well, yeah.
Actually, you enjoyed those scrums.
I really love scrums. It's a weapon, eh?
What about second half? Should we be concerned that the second half, once all the subs come on, D-Mac goes off, Bodie shifts to 10, and Will Jordan shifts to fullback, that things didn't exactly...
It
like,
wasn't
good,
but I don't think it's worth burning down the house.
Burning down the house. Yeah, because it's hard to be as motivated.
Well, you'll make a... Ooh, baby. Stranger, not the stranger.
Yeah. We don't want to lose the battery again.
Burning down the house.
It didn't like look as fluid.
Watch out.
It didn't look as fluid. But we'd already got the game won.
Well, the game was won. They put 35 points on them. They got their early try in the first half. And you thought,
D-Mac, Artie, Clark, all these tries.
42 minutes, we're going at a point a minute.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, this could be something wild.
And then we stopped scoring.
Yeah, we decided, you know what? Let's stop scoring because we need to keep Argentina in the rugby championship.
Second half was 7 points apiece.
Yeah, I felt like we actually defended pretty well because I felt like Argentina were coming at us with everything they had. It was nice to see that they didn't completely fold and crumble, even though the game was beyond them at that stage.
Other sides might have let that get to 60, 70 points. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. But they were hot on our line. We actually had to show some
metal.
Big defense. And that was when Sam Kane. Katie boy. The reason we're talking about Sam Kane is because we forgot to mention him the entire podcast last one. So we called the Sam Kane, and we forgot to mention Tamati Williams.
That's right.
But here, we mentioned them now. Who were we talk about last podcast that we haven't talked about in this podcast?
I don't remember.
We did a bit about Proctor, why Proctor isn't around.
Yeah, that's right. It would be nice to see Proctor.
Maybe we
should
stop worrying about what we said last time.
Yeah, just get on with it. Yeah. Get on with it.
That's well, that was that game.
How about the Almour yellow card? I haven't asked you about that before.
I thought it was, you know, what I said last time, I just said probably the right call.
Because you know what Razor said after the game?
Probably the right call.
He basically said probably the right
I
call.
I thought that they lightly caressed, but it's hard to tell in those frame by frame things. I don't think it was the same as that. Was it Esterhazen?
Yes, it's a.
I don't think it was the same sort of contact.
I made the point the last time that there was the Portuguese guy who hit Esterhazen literally was knocked out before he hit the ground.
I thought these guys just sort of had a little snuggly bump and lightly caressed each other a little bit, and that was it.
It's a yellow card these days. It's a yellow card these days if you bump heads. That's just the way it goes.
That's rugby.
That is rugby at the moment.
When a head hits a head, and the
referee said that's a yellow.
Hey, we did it. Because I was like, how am I going to make this? You came in. You really saved the day.
I saved the day. Woo. This is a good podcast material.
This is great stuff.
From the Pumas perspective.
This is hard.
They had 21 turnovers conceded, which is too much lost ball.
Yeah, you don't want to do that to win rugby games.
It's not very good.
No.
Even in the wet.
Yeah. New Zealanders are good in the wet because it's a relatively wet country throughout the winter, and this is a winter sport.
Yes.
And we play a lot of wet weather rugby, and you're challenged to still play with high skill.
And I believe the All Blacks are generally quite good at that.
Yeah. We like the rain.
We do, even though we didn't go to the game.
No.
Because it was raining.
It was a bit wet.
I didn't want to get wet. And tickets are expensive.
My hair gets a bit frizzy.
Gotta look after it while it lasts.
Yeah.
42-10.
The Eden Park record continues
on. It's at 50 games undefeated, so
I really wish it could, we could say 50 wins on the trot.
Yeah, but it's not. So Lions. But we're very good. And the South Africans in 94.
You know what's great? they did that list of like best undefeated streaks, and there was like us, obviously 1994 till indefinite.
Yeah.
And then
so Twickenham?
Twickenham was next and somewhere else. And then one on the list was Murrayfield. Oh. And obviously I was like, man, Scotland must have done pretty well.
But it's us.
It's us. 19 wins in a row.
Oh, nice. We should play all our games at Murrayfield.
Murrayfield and Eden Park.
Those are the only two games we want to play. That's screw it. Everywhere else, especially you, Wellington. You suck.
You suck a big old nutsack. And Scotland's desperate to play us at Wellington.
Never. Only at Murrayfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's a bit of pressure off Razor, but big task ahead with South Africa in a couple of weeks.
Huge task.
We've got still a few guys under injury cloud. Scotty Barrett's supposed to be coming back. Patrick Tupulotu, still not sure. Luke Jacobson is the guy we forgot in podcast round number one. He's still got an injury cloud.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well done. Injuries on some people.
So maybe they come back.
There was another game of rugby, which was also on the wet.
Was also very wet.
How am I going to find the... You know, I was bitching about how exhausting it was doing my MMA rant.
Yes.
And the last one.
Yes.
Do I attempt it again?
Let's give it again. But before we get to that, we need to talk about South Africa with 10 changes. Still comfortably beating the Wallabies. But at halftime, it was far from a foregone conclusion. It's the kind of opposite of the first game.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first half. I was like thinking, hey, we've got something on our hands here.
Should I keep the scoreboard ticking over? Yeah, they could have gone penalties. In with a halftime lead if Wallaceo doesn't miss that last kick.
I thought that he was going to take – it was the easiest kick that he had.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he fluffed it. And then from there, it was just prime, really good South African rugby in the second half. I don't think they were a scratch on what they were last week. They were phenomenal last week. This week, they were ropey in the first half. And
a few subs come on.
And good in the second.
Yeah.
But definitely, they reverted back to that more traditional South African style of play, tighter, strangling pressure, rather than that scary, expansive game that their top team seems to be wanting to push.
Scary, expansive game almost got some tries in the first half, though. They bombed multiple tries.
I don't think they were quite playing with that sort of expansive nature, that just like flick the ball on, find space.
Yeah, they got one through Fussy, which was great from turnover ball.
Yeah.
And then they bombed one when Colby passed it to Sasha, and they bombed another one from an Aussie kick when Mapimpi got hit. Yeah,
Makazolo.
So they could have had more.
It was.
They could have had 40, they could have had 50 points.
I hate to say it, but it was kind of when those teams are, you know, up and running, the current crop of players, you know, it's a great rivalry, Springboks Wallabies. Mm. It has been for decades. But currently it kind of feels like a tier one versus tier two, which is a massive shock.
Sad place for
Australian rugby to be. And
it's a good crowd there. There's like 58,000 fans there in the wet.
Yeah. Big weekend in Perth.
Mm.
The UFC was in Perth as well. Did I mention that?
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Three maul tries from the box. The Aussies' maul defense continues to be a problem.
Yeah. Have they got... Is Mike Cron their scrum coach at the moment?
I believe so, yeah.
Shit,
I mean, Joe Schmidt did kind of mention the fact that they had all those guys go off injured, that they couldn't really defend the mauls because, like, Harry Wilson was having to pack down in the front row of the scrum.
About an hour ago, I heard that there was some rumors about that being...
Controversy!
A conspiracy. What's your take on it?
Well... The controversy was, did Joe Schmidt somehow engineer uncontested scrums?
Should we say the opposite of what we said last podcast to keep it fresh?
Absolutely.
100%.
Joe's a sneaky bastard.
A sneaky brick.
How dare you? You Kiwi prick.
Underhanded,
slimy, just terrible human being.
Wormy bastard. No.
Last time, I think we said something like...
By the way, we said that we're going to say the opposite of what we said last time.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we gave him effusive praise.
That's not quite the opposite. Last time we said that Slipper went off for an HIA, and it's the independent medical staff who are the ones who determine who goes off for an HIA and whether they pass or fail an HIA. So probably not a grand conspiracy.
Hey, how does Rian know that I drink wine?
We never
drink wine on this podcast.
I think you may have mentioned that you drink wine.
Yeah, I remember you, Rian.
Yeah, he just sent me an email.
Tell
me. It went to my junk, but I found it.
Yeah.
I checked my junk.
Can you
send me that? I always check my junk.
Send me that email they sent you. I'm going to print it out. I'm going to take a dump on it.
Okay.
Take that, Rian. Love you, Rian.
But yeah, uncontested scrum sucked. But I don't think they were engineered. I actually thought the Aussie scrum looked a bit better in this game.
Yeah, better.
Compared to last week,
they
which
came
was atrocious.
Up with a strategy that was a little bit more effective, especially on their own ball. They just got it in and out, Fijian style.
And yeah. It was good. Keep moving.
Keep it going.
But they, here's the point you made. Two games, one try. And I mentioned only against 13 men. So the Wallabies have not been prolific in scoring tries against South Africa.
They have not scored a try against 15 men.
South Africa side in two games. And they didn't even look like scoring a try in this game. And the best moment was maybe the Tom Wright kick to Jorgensen.
Yeah.
And he's in a bit of space. And you're like, hello? And then, no.
No.
But Jorgensen looked sharp.
Against a team that has 10 of their frontline players out.
That's also concerning.
The other blokes just came over to watch Trikas.
I suppose so.
Three guys.
I mean, the other guy, I mean, they're missing Tupou in the front row. They're missing Fraser McWright, who's probably been Australia's best player in Super Rugby. So they are missing.
Fraser McWright is world class.
I mean, the
South African fans probably haven't seen much of that bloke, but he's real quality.
Real class.
Real good.
So the Wallabies are without a few players, but literally, like you just said, the box changed 10.
I'm not folding my arms because I'm fed up. I'm folding my arms because it's a little chilly.
Is it because South Africa won? He just hates South Africa so much.
I love the South Africans. Good thing the last one didn't go up because I had that whole 20-minute rant about what bastards they are.
That's right.
Yeah, God. Love you.
But yeah, 30 points to 12. That's two bonus point wins in Australia.
Yeah.
They are in the driver's seat of the rugby championship. You feel like New Zealand must win at least one game in South Africa, and they need to hope that Argentina can knock off South Africa in Argentina. Or get two wins in South Africa. Jesus. That's tough.
We've won this competition from the weirdest spots, though.
This is true.
So I wouldn't write us off. Mm. And this is a kind of an exciting spot to be. Like, backs up against the wall. Like we were backs up against the wall in the World Cup tournament last year.
Mm.
Came out
pretty well.
Pretty damn good. Unlucky not to win the final. Would have been lucky if we won it, but unlucky to lose it.
There you go.
One point game. Against 14 men. South Africa deserved to win it then. There you go, South Africa. And then that game, which we hark back to, the Ellis Park, when everyone wrote us off after Nombela. Write us off. Please do. I like it. Like it. We'll talk more about that game next week because there's nothing else to talk about apart from the
Pacific Nations Cup. Which is Cup.
It's almost like we need a rehearsal. We can set each other up.
There's six teams in the Pacific Nations Cup from now. I used to just be four.
Okay.
Now there's six.
Look, let's do a game. Because in the last podcast, you went on a bit of a rant about the Pacific Nations Cup.
Yep.
And I didn't do a great job of listening.
Yep.
And then I went on a rant about the MMA.
Yes.
And I don't know how well you listened.
I heard some words.
Okay, so I will tell you everything you told me about the Pacific Nations Cup.
Holy moly.
And then you try and tell me everything I told you about the recent weekend of the MMA.
Okay, let's go. Start with the Pacific Nations Cup.
So the Pacific Nations Cup is starting this weekend, which is great to see.
Yes.
Funded by World Rugby.
Yes.
So it's a proper legit tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Fiji up against Samoa to kick things off.
We do.
Yes. Eddie Jones is getting back into the mix. So it's great. It will be interesting to see how Eddie comes back after his recent losses.
He's on a poor run, isn't he?
He's on a very poor run. Yeah. But then also Canada and the US are in the mix as well.
Yes.
US, though, it seems as though they've kind of dabbled with the situation to really just make it almost a statistical impossibility for them not to qualify for the Rugby World Cup this
Pretty
year.
Pretty much.
Next Rugby World Cup.
With the expanded World Cup.
But there's some big games coming up. We've got three games, do we?
Two, I think, this weekend.
Two this weekend.
Fiji Samoa, like you mentioned, and Canada, Japan in Canada.
All right. So, and then we've got all rumbles.
Yeah, Lucas Rumble. Canadian star. He likes a rumble.
Lucas Rumble, so...
He's a loose forward.
We'll see how he goes. Yep. Great name.
He's the only Canadian player I can name off the top of my head.
Yeah, right. Well,
there are more.
Me too.
wonder why that is.
And
I know more Canadian players than that, but...
It should be good. And you're planning on watching every single game? And I might watch some highlights.
There we go.
How was that? What do you give me as a rating?
Yeah, give you a good A.
A?
Yeah, for sure.
First time I've got an A. Anything.
Well done.
All right, okay. Now you've got to tell me about the most recent weekend, UFC 305.
So, Dricus du Plessis, yes. Title defense.
Yes.
Up against Israel Adesanya.
Adesanya. Yeah.
What did I say?
Adesanya.
Adesanya. Is it Adesanya?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay. Against the last style bender. Is that his thing?
Yeah, that's. It's there we go. The last video. Yeah,
there we go. So a bit of a New Zealand South Africa clash.
Yes.
Also a bit of an Africa clash with his Nigerian origins.
Yes.
And a bit of pre-match kind of bad blood between the guys.
I think it was a bit of a misunderstanding. Yeah.
But
they need to build the fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a bit heated, but it got a bit weird.
It's part of the deal in the old UFCs. You gotta sell the fight. You gotta sell the fight. So they did that pretty well. The fight went four rounds.
Well, it stopped in the fourth. Yeah,
it didn't get to the end of the fourth round because Israel Adesanya was submitted.
Yes,
he ended up.
What
tapping.
Kind of submission was it?
It was a reverse choke, naked thingy, which you didn't mention in the other thing, but
rare naked choke.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's close enough. So Israel tapped, and that means Dricus won. That's how that works. So he's defended his title. Dricus is kind of a weird fighter.
Oh, there we go. Getting into the
because star? He's kind of like. He's awkward looking. Like, he doesn't look polished.
No, he does not.
He looks like he's very aggressive. He's always coming forward.
Yes.
But he just throws punches at times when you don't think he's going to throw a punch. And he's got a great wrestling game. And he's got this kind of sloppy jiu-jitsu thing going on.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't, every time Tony watches him, he feels like this guy's going to lose.
Yeah.
But he just somehow pulls through. He's undefeated in the UFC.
He's quality. He's really, really quality.
Really, really quality fighter. But after the fight, it was quite pleasing, despite all the bad blood and the build-up, to actually see Dricus handled it like an absolute champ.
Total class act.
A class act with his praise for his defeated opponent. And then Israel kind of returned the favor. So
they squashed the beef.
They squashed the beef. It's all kind of hunky-dory for these two guys. But Israel's not done yet.
Israel's not, he's not quitting yet. He's still an absolute legend of the game. But Dricus is a savage. And well done. You get an A2. Well done. Any thoughts on any of the other fights of the night?
Now, you tell me about the whole Strickland thing, though, because there's a potential rematch between Strickland and Dricus.
There could be a rematch between Strickland
and you mentioned that Dricus, his run has been something of an incredible one.
Well, his run has been through an absolute murderer's row.
Mm.
So I think he's gone Till, who's a very, very good fighter, a former championship title contender as a welterweight, but it probably should be a middleweight.
He beat Doyle Brunson, who's an elderly poker player.
He bet.
I think has passed away.
Made me forget his first name, but he bet Brunson, who is the ultimate gatekeeper to the top echelon of of the middleweight division. You have to beat him to like get a shot. The top five.
Mm-hmm.
Then he bet Robbie Whittaker, who has been the perennial number one contender for so long. He's so good. The Reaper. The Bobby Knuckles, like nobody gave him a shot against him. Mm. Everyone was like, well, this guy's going to get outclassed because he doesn't look polished.
Right.
And then he beat Strickland in a very odd fight, a close fight, but I thought that Drekas definitely won that fight, but some people online
disagree.
But that's the nature of fighting when it goes to a decision. And then he's beaten one of the all-time greats.
Israel
Adesanya. So it's just an incredible row of people. Like, if he had beaten all those people as the existing champion, people would be saying, you know, talking about greatest of all time, which is something they always talk about in MMA, is like, are you the greatest middleweight of all time?
Right.
Like, the greatest middleweight of all time, there's two people in the conversation right now. The Spider, what's his name? You don't even know this guy.
Peter Parker. Spider-Man.
The Spider. What's his name? Oh, Anderson Silva.
Okay.
Anderson Silva or even Israel Adesanya. Probably Anderson Silva number one, Israel Adesanya number two. And Israel bet at Anderson Silva.
Right.
But that was at the end of his career while...
It was around his prime.
And Drekas has now beaten Israel towards the end of his career.
Right.
So, but it's hard to
compare.
But Israel was... One of the things that Israel said at the end of the fight was... I was the best version of myself. I was in great condition. Like, I felt really, really good out there.
No excuses.
Drekas was just too good. He was the better man on the night, which was really nice to see that he was giving him props. And Drekas is a total class act. Mm. And the other thing, I'm really, really stoked for South Africa. Like, in rugby, like, it irritates me with all the fans and how dominant they've been and all that sort of thing. But I still love South Africa. And I've always supported the Australians in MMA, because there's quite a few Australians, there's quite a few Kiwis, and we've always punched above our weight, but there's been no South Africans.
No, there's
But we have this allegiance and this relationship with South Africa, and to see a South African who's just an absolute marauding drunken, well, not drunken, but he has this drunken punching style, just to be an absolute savage and just defy the odds and defy the critics. Is just so pleasing to see. And like, if South Africa really, really gets into MMA, like, if he can inspire another generation, they've got the
catalyst, some big bastards.
They've got some big old bastards. Well, it's all weight.
But tough bastards.
He's middleweight. They've got tough bastards, and like, they've got some natural athletes over there. They could love it, and it's such a great sport. And it was just so nice to see Eben and Sia Khaleesi like fans. Like,
that was pretty much my extent of the view experience, was the walk-in, the celebration, and then the tap. That's all of the entire thing I saw.
I saw the whole damn thing. And I was disappointed because I'm obviously an Izzy fan as a New Zealander. But really, really stoked for Sia. For
Drekas.
Drekas. And Eben and Sia just losing their shit.
They loved it.
That was so good to see. Every second. It was really, really, really fun to see. It was quite a thing to behold. And he's up against Sean. So that's the thing I mentioned to you before, was what I'm worried about is Sean ready? Well, is South Africa ready for MMA shit talk?
Because rugby fans in general aren't that...
We talk about the players and we give them each other shit about that. So the next opponent that he's got... do you want a little...
Go on, tap us up.
Sean
Strickland, an American.
An American who's actually renowned for... He's had this... So he got offside. Drekas put him offside because he was abused as a child, right?
Strickland
like,
was.
Strickland was okay. like given all sorts of hidings and like
right.
like grew up in an abusive household where right. like a lot of childhood trauma. And Drekas said to him when they were fighting, "It's like you're gonna wish I'm gonna beat you like your dad beat you or something like that, or you're gonna like the beating that I give you is not going to be anything compared to what your dad, well, like it's going to be so much worse than the beatings your dad gave you. And that, and Drake and Sean,
kind of a low blow.
Sean is always there to like, I think Drake has apologized for that, but like Sean is always saying wild shit at people. Like,
so there's a guy who's asking for that kind of comment. It's probably Sean Strickland.
Probably. Okay. But still, like,
it's still pretty low. It's
still one of the ones you get. You know, and like, it brought up some shit for Sean, and that, like, you never see Sean Strickland like
flustered
in a press conference, but he was like, he went at him. It was, which is kind of what you want to do in a press conference.
Yeah, sells the fight.
But now Sean Strickland's gone online going, I'm never going to fight. If you want to have this fight anywhere, it's got to be in Las Vegas where I live. It's not going to be in South Africa because South Africa is an absolute shithole full of assholes, and he's basically just listed off like all the negative statistics about like crime rates and corruption rates and all this sort of stuff, and like all the like nasty, awful, horrible shit, and like, but like coming. And you know how proud, and like Drikus is an incredibly proud South African, yep, massive Springbok fan. He freaking walked out to, yep, the South African national anthem, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so it's, I worry that like when South Africa gets into it, like that level of shit talk.
Is it another level from rugby?
It's a huge level for rugby.
Yeah, it's rugby. Almost part of the sport, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's you just kind of roll with it a little bit when you've been watching it for long enough, but some of it gets pretty freaking dark. Like there are a lot of honorable fighters and stuff who don't engage in that sort of shit, but yeah. And the other thing that I mentioned that I just want to mention quickly was I wasn't like it was an upsetting thing that, well, disappointing that Israel lost, but I wasn't disappointed with the event at all because my man Dan Hooker and my boy Kai Kara France both got wins, and that puts them up into some serious title contention in both of their lightweight and the, what's not, it's a bantamweight 125?
Yeah, probably.
Knocked out Steve Ursek in the front round. And what did I like about Dan Carter?
Dan Carter, his drop girl in the Rugby World Cup final. Dan the
Hag, man.
When he'd had the snot beaten out of him and his coaches in the corner were trying to give him all kinds of advice and he's bleeding from his face, he was just like, guys.
He just said, boys.
Oh, boys.
I love this shit, eh? Just started laughing.
You're going to show me that in a minute.
Yeah, you can go look it up yourself.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay.
We've just done two podcasts.
Yep.
Back to back talking about the same shit.
Yeah.
We did it.
So
I feel like the second podcast was, I don't know how long it was, but
it's pretty shorter.
I feel like
a bit shorter.
It was a fever dream.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's the podcast you've just watched.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This is a rugby, this is a
podcast. What's a UFC podcast? It talks a little bit of rugby on the side.
This is a podcast called
Two Seats Gets Distracted, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
And wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much. Well done, Mark.
Thank you. And it's still recording, and that's still recording. So we're golden. There's no round three.
Thank God. See you later.
Love you guys.
Hide it up.